Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 31, Eye of the Storm. When she awoke, the world was on fire.
Ah! I gasped at the sharp pain of a needle going through my neck.
Stop moving!
Serenity carefully used her magic to clean and sew the gaping wound in my neck. It didn't hurt too bad, but that was mostly a combination of my earlier medex and blood loss. Apparently, I'd lost a lot of blood.
It's a bad wound, you know. Wouldn't want to make it worse. You're really lucky I only nicked the major vein that goes to your head.
Lucky. I groaned as Serenity finished stitching up the wound, tying the wire in a little knot.
Didn't know you even had a kit like this.
Of course I do. Had it for a while. Can't always rely on them healing potions.
She wiped the sweat off her forehead with a hoof.
Though it's going to scar without a healing potion.
Oh no,
I deadpanned, rolling into a sitting position. Whatever will I do? I scratched idly at the scars that marked over half my face as I looked around. The fire that had marked the ground had died out, but the building behind was still burning loudly, and I imagine it would until there was nothing but ash left.
Are you going to talk to him?
Flyer asked, plopping down beside me with a heavy thud. He still had most of his armor on, but his helmet was off, revealing his soot-stained, sweat-streaked face.
I would, but, we got along poorly.
Ho!
I asked, looking over at Flair, feeling a pang of guilt for forcing Flair through that ordeal.
Oh, you mean?
My eyes wandered across the complex to the tiny figure rocking back and forth over the body of Dragon Slayer. Why would anyone keep such a monster? I couldn't imagine.
Someone needs to talk to him. Can't leave him here, right? I mean, sure, he did try to kill us a little, but he's just a baby dragon. Dragon Slayer probably stole him as a child or something.
Flair was certainly an odd stallion, showing sympathy over someone who tried to kill him. Maybe I could learn a thing or two from him.
We will speak with him,
Platinum Haze said, her voice soft and slightly wavering. Looking up at her, I realized she looked completely exhausted. Her body slumped and her head hung low. The tip of her horn sparked slightly, and I wondered if maybe she had overexerted herself, but that seemed hard to believe.
I'll go too,
I said, standing slowly, my legs shaky. So shaky, I nearly collapsed until Hayes wrapped a wing around me to stabilize me. Without the adrenaline pumping through me, everything hurt so much.
I would too.
Serenity looked at the ground.
I don't think he probably...
There was a look of guilt on her face.
It's not your fault.
I reached out to mess up her mane.
But don't worry about it. We'll talk to him.
Serenity nodded, but did not look comforted.
Okay, Mama. Don't walk too fast or anything. You're really hurt. You need lots of rest.
After we get back to the boat, I'll sleep for a week.
That actually seemed like a really good idea, and it seemed to placate Serenity somewhat. As I hobbled beside Hayes, Serenity wanted to fix my leg first, but Hayes insisted on my neck, which was probably a good idea, but it meant my leg was still not working. I wondered if this was a good idea. We had apparently just killed this dragon's dad, and if I knew anything, it's that most people love their parents even when they weren't the best to others. I looked up at Platinum Hayes and wondered if she could sympathize.
Excuse us,
Hayes said as we approached the dragon. A sense of dread was rising in my gut as the memories of the dragon repeatedly trying to eat me flashed through my mind. The prevailing smell of smoke didn't help.
We are sorry to disturb you, and we are sorry for your loss. We wish to know if there's anything we can do to assist you in this time of need.
Go away!
The dragon huffed between sobs.
Just go away! I hate you! I hate all of you!
We understand your pain.
She lowered her head.
We once lost our dear mother, and it was not fair. We cannot dictate how you should feel, but if you require anything, we will help you for as long as we stay here.
Why?
He hissed between his teeth, still hunched over Dragon Slayer's corpse.
Why did you fight him? Us? He was making the world a better place.
Reasons are complicated, and the world is not a place of simple whites and blacks. We did not participate in any fighting. We simply protected those who we love,
Hayes said solemnly.
Not you, her!
He turned all of a sudden, pointing a small claw at me. It was hard to remember that this small purple and green dragon with its large yellow eyes and tiny wings was the same dragon I was fighting not long before. Even with all the rage he could muster in his tiny face, he was anything but threatening. I felt like I'd been hit. He manipulated me a while back to start a war. And then he used the Laughing Stain to attack Dice. He killed Pinprick, a friend of mine with a small daughter. He killed the Batmare, setting off a mega spell. He kidnapped my daughter! My voice slowly rose as I spoke until I realized I was yelling. I shut my mouth and looked away, ashamed at raising my voice at such a small creature. I gripped my teeth and took a breath as the small dragon quivered in front of me. He would have done the same to me. He tried to do the same. You did too. I know you loved him, but to me, he was a monster.
You should have listened.
Avarice, that's what Dragonslayer called him, said.
He tried to show you, but no, you wouldn't listen.
He huffed, rubbing his eyes.
I don't want your charity.
He spat at the ground at our hooves.
Leave. Go. Let me bury my papa in peace. And let me leave. Far away. So far away I'll never see your likes again.
I bit my lip lightly and gave a nod. Okay. For what it's worth, I'm sorry. Not that he died, but that he died and meant so much to you.
Just go away,
the dragon begged once more. So we did. Before we could leave, Serenity had to fix my foreleg and, just for good measure, stitch up the stab wounds on my back. Those had been mostly absorbed by my armor, so they weren't that pressing, but she insisted. Unfortunately, as we were doing that, Flair just had to go poke around at the disabled Ponytron and turn it back on. At least he was somewhat bearable when he was complimenting us on our victory over the dragon, but that didn't mean he wasn't frustrating on principle. Eventually, though, we made it out of that damnable canyon. As we took our last steps outside the gate, I turned and looked at the words written on the plaque leading into the base. Fort Spitfire, may those who die to defend peace never be forgotten. I laughed, just a little. It would have hurt too much to laugh more. There was something profoundly funny about that plaque. I didn't know what, but it was worth laughing about at least.
So, that was fun, Flair said, looking back towards the canyon, carrying his helmet under a wing. A filly rescued, a madman killed, a dragon defeated. This is the type of story that needs to be written down, lest people forget. But there's so much missing context.
There was a sly smile on his face.
But it all worked out. Nobody died, and Hyde didn't even lose a limb.
Came close,
I said, grunting through the pain throbbing through my body. Who knew repeatedly getting knocked around by a dragon took a toll on you?
At least we survived.
For now.
Flair looked back at me.
Listen, Hyde, I know you want to take a swing at the Watchers, because if Dragon Slayer is telling the truth, well, what they did to you, what they were planning to do, I'm not going to try and stop you anything stupid like that, but be careful. They made you like you are, and they can unmake you.
The pain in my gut burned away to dread and fear. Just thinking about what they did, what it meant, it made me feel queasy.
I know.
I stared intently at the ground, trying not to betray my emotions.
You sound like you won't be there with me.
I won't.
He flapped his wings gently to lift himself into the air.
My home was attacked, my people betrayed, and betrayed by themselves. Remnants need me. I like you, Hyde, but they're my family, and I told you I'd need to go to them after we rescued Serenity. It's time.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be plenty of time to take out the Watchers together.
I walked closer to him. Until then, I placed a friendly hoof on his shoulder.
Stay safe.
Oh, you know me.
He placed his helmet on his head and then flapped a few times until he was flying upside down.
I'm too awesome to get hurt. Toodles, Hyde.
He turned his head toward Serenity.
Take good care of your mama. Remember to put her to bed early and no water before, even if she whines. She's such a whiner.
Serenity gave Flair a stiff salute.
Aye, aye, Captain.
He blew a kiss to Platinum Haze for good measure, too.
And I'm out.
With a few sturdy flaps of his wings, Flair was speeding off towards the horizon so fast, I thought for a second I almost saw a blue and green trail in the air behind him.
Nice jet. Shame he's a Pegasus.
Walker chirped, eliciting a glare from me and everyone else.
What? I just mean the Remnants are a dangerous group. A shame he's associated with them.
You said you run to Ace, I said sternly to Walkirk.
I do.
Name me one group that's not dangerous. He stared silently at me for a good minute before he started to roll away. Good. Maybe if he kept quiet, the long, excruciatingly painful walk back to the boat wouldn't be so bad. To his credit, he was mostly silent, which was nice. I liked the peace and quiet, and it gave me time to count my broken ribs and groan in pain as I hobbled along. One of these days, I was going to do something cool without getting completely fucked up in the process. Really. I suppose I was lucky, though. Most anyone else would have been dead several times over in the canyon alone. Maybe Celestia really was looking out for me, or she thought my pain was funny. When we finally reached the river and the boat, it was such a relief I could have fainted. By then, I had long since lost the ability to walk on my own power alone and had to lean against Platinum Haze for support. Still, just seeing the boat, and with it the idea that I would be able to sleep, it was refreshing. It was such a pretty sight. Though, partially that may have been something to do with the fact that the sun was setting then, too, bathing the ship in the water in orange light.
You're alive! I heard someone gasp.
Looking up, I saw Red Skies running towards me.
By Luna's beard, I was watching for you. I thought I saw a dragon.
Yeah, I grinned. Just a small one, no big deal.
What?
He shook his head in disbelief.
So as long as you're all right, we can take you back up river if you like. Serenity is all right, right?
Just then, Serenity decided to show herself from behind me.
Hi, I'm all right. It was super scary, but it wasn't so bad because I'm brave. Oh!
She jumped up a little in excitement.
Want to see Scudaborg? She's changed a lot since I first got her from you guys.
Sure, my wife will be interested as well.
He started to turn back towards the ship.
But first, I get the feeling your mom has had a long day. Let's get her to bed.
Yay, I really needed sleep for a few years. I also needed a bath because I was covered in blood, but that could wait. Thanks, I muttered to Red Skies.
Come on, Mama, I took you in,
Serenity said, running ahead of me. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. To be honest, as soon as I made it onto the boat and collapsed into my bed, I was out like a light. Ashes. The world was nothing but ashes. As far as I could see, the world had burned to the ground. But the fires had long since given out. Just blackness and charred rubble. Looking to the sky, I saw it was glowing a sickly green. My stomach churned as I watched the lights in the sky dance and burn. This was wrong. So wrong. But I couldn't put a hoof on how. I walked forward through a century of dust and decay, my hooves breaking through burnt buildings and blackened bones alike. I should have been sickened, trampling through pony remains, but they were so old and frail it was hard to imagine that they had ever been anything other than bones. They were part of the land I created, nothing more or less. So I walked through them, kicking up soot. What had happened here? Was there a city here once? Did ponies live, breathe, laugh, love where now there was nothing but remains? It was curious. And sickening. So I kept walking. I don't know how, but I knew I was headed towards the center. Just the center of what, I didn't know. Eventually I found it, bathed in green light. Unlike the rest of the world, the small space at the center was pristine. White walls, medical devices, and a stretcher with a figure beneath a sheet. I stepped to the white center, tracking dirt and dust and bones. My hoof reached for the center, for the pony on the stretcher, but I stopped. I knew what was underneath. I knew. Revealing it would do nothing. I already knew the answer. What good is finding out the truth if the truth was horrible? But I couldn't help myself. My hoof moved beyond my control and revealed myself under the sheet. I opened my eyes and screamed. I struggled against the bonds that lashed me to the stretcher. Against the world that held me down. When did I get so weak, so powerless? I fought with all my might, but my strength barely budged the world. Above me stood a Pegasus, wrapped in darkness. I couldn't see his face, his colors, or his cutie mark. All I could see was the glowing green syringe he had in his hoof. His face contorted into a smile too wide for his head as he pressed the syringe into my leg. Fire filled my veins, and I cried out. No amount of screaming could stop the flames, though, as they spread through my body, engulfing me. My blood burned first, a sickly green, then my lungs, and I felt like I could breathe fire and death. But not even that could break my bonds. Then my brain burned away and shriveled, leaving me unable to comprehend what was happening. Finally, my heart caught fire and turned to ash, because why would a monster need love? Only when I was nothing but a tool, someone else's flames, someone else's torch, could I break free of my bonds. I stood up and the stretcher sank beneath me. The room was once white, but as my body looked around it, led by invisible strings, it turned blacker and blacker. So I walked out of the center into the world. A great city stretched before me, vast and untouched. Buildings lay before me, and ponies. As I walked on unbidden hooves, the world behind me started to burn. I walked past lie and mischief, and they burned away to bones. I saw the town of Timber burned as I walked by it, my hooves trailing fire. Grimer tried to run away, but he couldn't escape. How could he? Mustang was next, but he tripped and fell, and then there was nothing. I pushed post-haste into the fire myself, my wire-guided hooves listening to no command I gave them. I was death. I was fire. And who could escape? Pinprick and the Batmare ran for a while, but I was too fast, too steady, and soon they too were naught but ash. Then Foundation came. I tried to fight against the wires that guided me, but those pulling the strings were too strong. Foundation, Wildfire, my life gone to the flames. If only I had a brain to save them, and lungs to breathe life back into them.
Cut the ropes.
Wildfire stood before me, her body made of gray smoke and red fire. She pushed against me, my green flames and body of black ash stopping in their tracks.
Cut the strings. You're not a puppet.
I have always been a puppet,
I explained to the dead, my voice my own where my body was not. Too stupid to fight back, too stubborn to see. I'm a follower, like Platinum Haze.
Cut the strings and run,
Wildfire was saying desperately, her flames growing brighter and brighter.
You are you. Don't let them manipulate you.
I am fire and ash. My head lowered. I am death and destruction. The rubble on my flanks show it. That's what I bring. I see it now. I didn't start the fire, but I spread it with every move I make. I can't fight what they made me. I'll die at their command, at their word. They made it so. And when I do, the world will burn. And that's my destiny.
You're smarter than you realize, and stronger than most can comprehend.
The smoke took solid form, but only for a second.
You're tough, too tough. Do you know the phrase between a rock and a hard place?
I blinked at her in confusion.
You are the rock. Shove them into a hard place and you are sure to win. To get out.
What do you know? My voice rose, and behind me the flames rose. Emerald and jade, they threatened to swallow me whole. Tears stung at my eyes. Wildfire, she couldn't understand. You're dead.
Yes,
she said softly, her smoke and fire dissipating until there was nothing left.
But you don't have to be.
I woke up soaked in sweat. My eyes were blurry and I looked around the room. It was dark. It must have been night. The only light was from a candle in the corner, which was odd. Why was there a candle lit in the room I was sleeping in?
Oh, you have awoken,
Platinum Haze said, suddenly appearing into view.
Why were you invisible?
It was a very important question to ask, because it didn't seem to make much sense to me.
You were mumbling in your sleep. We worried that if we were right here when you awoke, it would startle you.
She smiled softly from the side of my bed.
Do you need anything? We can acquire water or food for you.
No, nothing. Though my head was a little dizzy, and my body was in a lovely amount of pain. For now, I just need to think.
We are sorry. Were you having a nightmare? Is there anything we can do to offer assistance?
It was a sweet offer, but I wasn't really sure there was anything she could do. Yes, a nightmare. It was different from my usual nightmares, though. Wildfire didn't even die at the end. I guess because she was already dead. Can I ask you a question? A personal one? It's important.
Feel free to ask us anything you desire, and we shall answer to the best of our ability.
How did you... I struggled to find the words. Maybe it was because of all the blood loss. How did you deal with what happened to you? I mean, you used to be a pony before, right? And now you were taken and changed. It wasn't the same as what happened to me, not by a long shot. But of all the ponies I knew, she was the only one I could imagine understanding. She looked down at the floor for a second.
We are not the best Alicorn to ask such a question. We have heard many of our sisters' complaints about Mother's actions, and while we understand them, we cannot admit to agreeing on their feelings.
She gulped a little bit.
We liked what happened to us. Our life was not pleasant before Mother took us. She gave us a purpose, meaning, and family.
Oh, I said softly, feeling slightly disappointed.
Perhaps you could speak to Diamond Sky,
Platinum Haze said.
She would understand, we think. She has always been bitter of Mother's designs and never wanted this form, and still wishes she did not have it. We have spoken to her about it on many occasions. She has told us she felt violated by the actions taken against her will, that she often had trouble looking at herself in the mirror because the figure that looked back was not her. When I asked her why she felt this way, she said it was because her life should be hers alone, and ponies using it to their own ends without a care for her, it upset her. We can understand these feelings.
I nodded along as Platinum Haze spoke. I'm not sure what to think. I pressed a hoof to my chest, trying to see if I could feel the fire burning inside me. I hate it, what they did to me. I don't even remember it, but I hate it.
Why?
It was such a simple but powerful question. Because they had no right. I gripped my teeth together. It was my life, my body. They stuck me full of needles for what? So I can die in their command? So I can kill everyone around me without even having a say? Did you see the way they talked about me on the videos? I was an experiment, a tool. I slammed my hoof down on the bed, needing to get some of my anger out.
We are sorry, Platinum Haze said sincerely. We are unsure of what words of condolence we can offer you.
It's fine. I lowered my head back onto the pillow. I'm not sure what I was expecting from her, but sympathy was what I was going to get. Of course, I knew she wouldn't feel what I felt, but it was good to have some small part of understanding. Not that it made me feel any better, or make the fire in my chest burn any cooler. Where's Serenity? Last time I was sick on a boat, she spent most of her time by my bedside.
We sent her off to bed a while ago. We recognize she cannot stay awake with as few ill effects as us. She protested at first, but we assured her we would make sure no harm would come to you this night. We are not even sure what she imagined would happen.
Well, last time I was on this boat I was, attacked by assassins. Good times.
You were? What?
She seemed a bit shocked, though I wasn't sure why.
For what reason?
That was a very good question, and like most very good questions, I didn't have an answer for it. I tried to think, but came up with nothing. I knew they were from Molly, but I wasn't sure why she wanted me dead so badly. I know she blamed me for ruining her attack on the Mustangs. Molly wanted me dead, I eventually said. Not sure why. She wanted me dead when you met her too. She ruined my date. I really was going to need to have a chat with her about that. Assuming I didn't explode in the near future. Before I could say anything more, there was a sharp knock on my door.
Hard.
It was Red Sky's voice.
Are you awake?
Yeah, I said through the door, wondering why he was bothering me.
Well, if you're well enough, you need to get up and come on deck. Some NCA folk want to see you, and they don't seem the type to ask nicely.
Okay. I started to roll out of bed, which was painful, but thankfully I had Platinum Haze there to help me.
Can you walk?
I nodded to her question. Sure, it was going to hurt because everything hurt, but that never stopped me before.
We are curious as to why the NCA have come here, and for what purpose. We were unaware they even knew of your existence.
I worked for them a couple times, I said as I started for the door.
We are constantly amazed at the number of important ponies that you have met that also want to kill you.
I never said they wanted to kill me.
You did not have to.
That was a bit of a pessimistic way to look at things. I wasn't even sure what the NCA wanted. Of course, the last time I had interacted with them, I had gone out of my way to save the ruler of their enemies from being captured. But what were the chances of them remembering that? I walked outside and realized it was just becoming morning. The sun peeked out over the horizon and bathed the sky and water in an orangey red. It was also so incredibly bright it took a second for my eye to adjust. My cybernetic eye had no such problem. For me to see the two uniformed NCA soldiers standing on the deck wearing disapproving frowns. Behind them, attached to our ship by a plank, was another much larger boat with sizable cannons on the sides. The pair looked at me and one spoke.
Are you hired gun?
Both ponies were red mares. Maybe they were related, though the one speaking to me was taller and had a green mane where the other's was blue.
Yes.
Good.
The mayor pointed her battle saddle rifles at me.
You're under arrest for treason against the New Caledonian Alliance. Please come quickly and quietly. Anything you say will be recorded and held against you. Once formal charges have been laid, you have the right to speak in your defense at your trial. Is this clear?
Wait, what? I took a step back. Even with subtlety not on me, I had enough weapons to make short work of two ponies.
But that ship would prove more troublesome. So the only option was to talk my way out of whatever this was. I'm not even an NCA citizen. The short pony spoke.
Did you or did you not receive a contract from Major Lucky of the NCA Armed Forces?
I nodded slowly to that, as I had thought that particular contract was a secret.
According to NCA Unified Law and the NCA Armed Forces regulations, all contract employees of the NCA are to be treated as NCA civilians in order to prosecute any misdeeds that they may have done. If the contract is for any reason terminated, they will continue to be treated as NCA civilians for a period of 1 year to be sure they do not misuse any intelligence they may have received from NCA Armed Forces.
Shit.
I looked over at Platinum Haze, but she was nowhere to be seen. It occurred to me at that moment that the last time she had met anyone from the NCA, she was shot at. I couldn't really blame her discretion, but I really could have used her help.
Well, I refuse to go with you.
Red Skies gave me a bit of a glare. What am I even being charged for? The shorter mayor answered again.
Conspiracy to commit murder against NCA personnel, conspiracy to commit treason, and obstruction of justice, specifically in regards to the events that unfolded at the Walkirk train station.
What did I supposedly do?
I got the feeling that these ponies weren't really important enough to know.
Do you think we care?
The taller mayor asked. Which was also a good question.
These orders come directly from Major General Hailstorm. Maybe you're innocent, maybe you're guilty. Maybe you're actually Celestian fucking disguised, but when you get a signed letter from the Major General, you follow those orders.
Well, I...
The tall mayor cut me off and walked close. As she did so, my cybernetic eye started to recognize her as a threat and put a border around her that marked her as the highest level of dangerous.
On that ship behind me are 30 heavily armed NCA soldiers who are mighty pissed that they're not on the front lines. They've been itching for a fight ever since the bipeds tried to blow up our base, and they have been stuck looking for you. I was told by a little birdie that you were injured recently and have no healing potions. I also know you have a mare friend and a daughter you don't want to get hurt. And while the NCA would never condone hurting innocents, a firefight in such a small space would cause accidents. So let me make this choice abundantly clear to you. You can stay on the ship, but a contingent of 10 guards will be present with 2 following you at all times. Meanwhile, we will escort you and your ship to our farm north of here, where certain ponies eagerly await an audience with you. If you try to fight, or the ship tries to escape, we have orders to kill you and anyone who tries to stop us. So I kindly suggest you agree to these terms. Am I making myself clear?
With great reluctance, I nodded my consent. it would be easier to escape NCA custody when not on a ship. So, I would have to wait and plan my escape until after I met whoever was so interested in meeting me. But first, I was going to have a talk with Walkirk, because I had a feeling I knew who the little birdie was. Of course, it occurred to me a few minutes later that there was no way I was going to be able to talk to Walkirk, because the mere fact that he existed was a secret, and he wasn't about to talk to me with NCA guards trailing behind me. I wanted to talk to Platinum Hayes, at least, but I doubted she would show herself with such a high chance of getting shot. "I'm going to take a shit," I said to the two NCA guards following close behind me. I wondered idly if they realized how little of a threat they posed to me. Either way, I walked over to the boat's bathroom and started inside the door. And, just as expected, the guards started to come in with me. "What the fuck are you doing?" The guard looked confused. But, ever since I laid eyes on him, he seemed perpetually confused.
"We have orders to keep an eye on you at all times."
"I'm not letting you. Not in the bathroom, anyway." I glared at the guard in mock outrage.
"But my orders."
"There's no window, just a toilet. What do you think is going to happen?" I kept my gaze glued to the stallions in an attempt to intimidate him. It usually worked.
"But I..."
"Listen." I pushed him out of the doorway. "If I don't get out in 5 minutes, knock. Or break the door down." Before he even had a chance to reply, I walked through the door and closed it on his stupid face, leaving him standing there with his partner looking befuddled. I looked around the small room for a brief second before whispering,
"Hayes."
There was a slight shimmer, and suddenly there she was standing. To my surprise, she wasn't alone. Serenity was perched on Hayes' head, her tiny horn glowing pink. "Hi, Mama."
"We are sorry about our actions earlier," Hayes said slowly. "We have brought Serenity with us so we can talk in peace. We have heard she has a unique spell that has proven useful."
"I'm basically a ninja," Serenity explained, tapping her horn. "Probably the best ninja ever."
"Of that we are sure."
Platinum Hayes tried to look at Serenity to smile at her, but given the filly was on her head, it proved difficult.
She turned her attention back to me. "We mean to apologize for our actions. We should not have left you bereft of friends at your time of need. But our previous experiences have shown the NCA are hostile to our kind."
"I understand," I said with a sigh. "It's no big deal. If they were actually arresting me, they wouldn't let me stay on this boat."
"Are you certain this is the case?"
"Well, yesterday I learned I'm actually a walking bomb, so no, I'm not certain about anything." Hayes visibly recoiled. I guess my self-deprecating humor wasn't funny.
"We are still worried. The NCA's intentions are suspect from what we understand, and it would be in the best interest of all if we had an escape route planned if they mean to go through with such an act."
"We go invisible, run away?" I offered as a plan.
"We suppose, though that is a bit simplistic."
"So am I," I said. Besides, we didn't have a clue what to expect, so trying to plan anything bigger with such little information was foolhardy.
"I could shoot him with my ninja skills,"
Serenity offered as a potential solution. I was slightly taken aback by Serenity's enthusiasm. "Do you really want to?" I asked her.
"Not really," she admitted. "Just wanted to sound cool."
There was a loud rapping on the door.
"Are you done in there?"
Stupid annoying guards. "Right, okay." I looked back over at Hayes and Serenity. "Just, when I go, follow me silently. Be prepared for anything. It's not for a few days yet, so be careful on the boat with all the guards around." And with that, I turned to walk out the door as the two of them vanished behind me. I don't remember the sun having an eye before. Maybe I couldn't see it before because it was too bright, but there it was staring down at me. Funny thing about the clouds being gone, it means the sun can watch you all the more. It wasn't just the sun, though. It was the walls, too, when I went inside. They had eyes, following me as I walked across the room. When it was overcast, the clouds had eyes, and when it rained, the puddles looked up at me. I couldn't escape the eyes, no matter how hard I tried.
"We are watching you,"
the eyes whispered. I would ask why, but I wasn't allowed a voice. They heard my wordless question anyway.
"We are the watchers,"
the eyes said, the pupil burning bright and vibrant green.
"Wake up."
"Huh?"
"Wake up."
Something jabbed me in the stomach, and suddenly my eyes shot open. The guards who had been following me for the past few days as the ship sailed upriver were there.
We're here. Your presence is demanded.
Yay, I mumbled sleepily and picked myself up out of bed. The past few days had been obnoxious, as it was hard to get rest and recuperate with morons following me around. On the bright side, they had healing potions on them, which Serenity was nice enough to steal from them and sneak to me when they weren't looking. That, combined with Platinum Haze walking around invisible, led them and the other NCA ponies to suspect the ship was haunted. They looked relieved to finally leave. I stood up and stretched my legs. I figured I wouldn't be allowed to bring my weapons, but it wasn't likely they were going to take my legs, so I was more than confident. They let me put on my armor, though, which was nice and clean because I was able to wash all the blood off it during the trip. "Who am I meeting?" I asked as they escorted me out of the room.
"You'll find out,"
was the only answer I got. "I hope it's Major Lucky. We get along so well." One of the guards shot me a surprised look, which pretty much confirmed my guess. Either that or he was surprised I had met the ghoul before. The two looked relieved as we finally left the boat onto the waiting dock. I'd never seen the great NCA farm before, and the only thing I knew about it was that it was partially owned by Molly, and that it provided most of the food in Dais. It was simply massive, stretching for miles in every direction, even as the river bifurcated. I bet you're surprised I know that word. The farm in half. There was more green there than I had ever seen in my life, not to mention an entire orchard filled with grown trees.
"Whoa,"
I said quietly. "How is that possible?"
"You can thank the zebras at Karkuf," the guard said with a sly smile. "Oh, could. They provided talismans that could purify soil of radiation to allow trees to grow. The radiation seeps back eventually. We used to trade them for fresh water, but since they vanished, we have enough talismans for now, and the NCA is looking for a way to make more."
I was surprised he was telling me all this. "Who works the fields?" I asked. I saw a lot of ponies in the fields, but there wasn't just ponies. There were at least 3 minotaurs out there, and a lot of armed guards. The guards kept walking towards a large building on the wall of the farm.
"Workers from Dais, mostly. They usually work in shifts. A week here, a week in Dais. Though the NCA has been known to buy prisoners and put them to work. Better than letting them rot."
Oh, that's why he was telling me. He expected me to be put to work in the field. I would probably be good at it, but it seemed rather boring. "I see."
"You will,"
the guard smirked again, reminding me that I hadn't kicked him in the face yet. Eventually, we reached the building, which, to my surprise, was actually a pre-war building. They must have built the farm around it because the other buildings I saw, I think they were residences, looked to be made of the usual scrap. The inside was slightly rotten and dank, with candles lighting up the room. I was quickly ushered into what I think used to be a dining room, but was turned into something of a war room. Maps and diagrams of the area were spread out across the tables, and there were a few computers. The doors closed behind me, leaving me with the two ponies in the room. Both of them I recognized right away, even if they didn't even look up from the map they were looking at. I walked forward and cleared my throat, but the two just whispered to each other. I eventually said, "You had me arrested?"
"In a minute, Hard,"
Major Lucky growled. Eventually, he and Major General Hailstorm looked up at me.
"You look like shit."
Apparently, a healing potion and a few days of rest weren't enough to make me look good after a dragon fight. The stitches that were still in my neck probably didn't help.
"Better than you."
The last time I'd seen Lucky, he had a spear in his chest, and I guess the radiation from the megaspell was enough to keep him alive, but it didn't fix the gaping hole where the spear once was.
"Glad to see you and our prisoner get along so swimmingly."
The Major General looked vaguely amused. I think she was just happy to get away from strategy for the moment. It looked like it was taking a toll on her. At the very least, her pink mane, which was so frazzled, I had to wonder if something was nesting in it.
"So I'm actually a prisoner?"
I walked over to a nearby cushion to take a seat. "I am curious. Where do you plan to hold me?"
"We're not stupid."
Lucky's voice was quieter than it had been before, almost painfully, though.
"We cannot afford to keep you against your will. You are far too stubborn. We just knew this was the only way to get you to come to us, especially after you foolhardily quit the Hyzeis."
"How do you know about that?"
"We have ponies paid to keep tabs on the major gangs, and your leaving caused waves. But this is not why we are here."
The Major General waved a dismissive hoof.
We have a few questions for you. What was your relation with a pony named Pinprick?
What? That was the last question I expected. She was a friend, I guess, before everyone called her a hero. That's when I met her. Why do you care?
You haven't heard about the riots, have you?
Lucky asked, leaving me dumbfounded, which I guess answered his question.
Her funeral sparked riots across Dyce, against the gangs, against us, against anything resembling a power structure. They've been going on for days. We had no means to fight rioters without killing them, so we had to pull back. Other gangs were not so, kind. Bodies are burning in the streets. The way we hear it, some of the gangs have already fallen into ruin, and the rest are next.
What? No. It was already happening. The Watcher's plan. The ice was burning, and soon they'd swoop in to clean up the mess they made, but not before anyone who could oppose them was dead. You have to stop it.
We had hoped to understand why they happened, the Major General said. Granny Dynamite sent us information saying your connection to this pinprick and to a pony named Dragonslayer could give us the information we need.
They couldn't come at a worse time.
Lucky looked to be seething.
First the zebras are attacked, then they are at war with the minotaurs. Now this. The NCA does not have enough resources to fulfill all these obligations, and if the Council has its way, we'll be pulled out of the heist completely to focus on the Minotaur threat.
Of course the NCA Council would pull out. It was all starting to make sense. The Watchers wanted to capitalize on the chaos, and to do so they needed to make sure the stronger parties couldn't first. And how better than starting a war? The pieces were falling into place, and all I could do was watch. Then something struck me. During the build-up to the war, I said slowly, trying to organize my thoughts, I remember seeing NCA soldiers at the Black Salamander, getting cybernetics.
You better be going somewhere with this.
I didn't bother responding to him. I had to complete my thought. Were there any soldiers who got cybernetics elsewhere? The BS wasn't the only place to get cybernetics. There was a shadowy company called Cerberus that competed with them. I remember that the current leader of the Mustangs, Mayhem, got his cybernetics from them, as he didn't want to support a rival. Lucky glared at me and looked like he was about to tell me to fuck off before Hailstorm cut him off.
A few weren't able to get appointments and made, other arrangements. Only 4, to my recollection, though, of the 36 NCA Rangers who got augmented.
She walked back to her computer and pressed a few buttons.
We've been keeping close watch on all the new augmented troops. Why do you ask?
Did any of them mention a burning sensation around the cybernetics? Just saying that made the fire in my stomach burn and twist. Just imagining what was inside me was painful. The two looked dumbfounded at my eerily specific question. Hailstorm scrunched up her face and looked down at her computer, apparently looking up that information.
We were worried about rejection, Hailstorm explained, so we asked about every medical problem that was reported and recorded. According to our files, 2 of them reported similar burning problems, but the source couldn't be found.
Shit. I could feel a thin trickle of sweat bead down my neck as my eyes went wide. Recall them, or whatever. Don't put them in the front lines. You need to get them into surgery. Get them away. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my mind as the pair looked even more confused at me. They have a chip in their head. It's a detonator. You need to find out and disable it or else.
Nor else what?
They have mega spells inside them. That stopped Lucky dead in his tracks.
What?
Lucky said slowly. You saw it. You 2 are both there. You must have seen it. I took a deep breath. On the screen, the Laughing Stallion, he started to glow. Then the Batmare teleported him away. He had a mega spell inside of him. The pony you mentioned before, Dragonslayer, he set him off.
I was indisposed.
Lucky said, a hoof moving to touch the hole in his chest.
I saw, Hailstorm said. I didn't know what it was. I never thought.
She sobered up.
How could you know this?
I put my cybernetic hoof to my chest. It happened to me. There was a shock of disbelief on their faces. I know you find it hard to believe me, but it's the truth, though. The trigger they put in me was disabled by accident when I lost my eye. I was lucky. Your ponies may not be.
Who would do this?
Lucky's voice was filled with disbelief, but the fact that he was asking me questions, not just dismissing, meant I must have been getting through to him. You wouldn't believe me.
Hard!
His voice raised enough to make me take a half step back.
Tell us!
The Watchers. More disbelief. I am pretty sure it's them, unless Dragon Slayer was lying, but according to him, they want Dice, the technology in it.
We can't believe you, Hailstorm said after a long, awkward silence. Not without proof.
They had to believe. They had the power to stop it.
But for safety's sake, we can take two soldiers out of the fight for a week or so for some evaluations.
She started typing something on the computer, but stopped.
Oh, that's not good.
The last thing we needed was more bad news. What?
Master Corporal Dead Whisper has been reported missing in action, Hailstorm read. It seems he was reported missing in action during a battle for Canyon Ridge Bridge to the west.
She reached over and grabbed a drink from the table in front of her and took a sip, which was weird, because I didn't remember it being there.
He is presumed captured by Minotaur forces, with no hope of recovery.
I need to get him, I said sternly.
No hope of recovery,
Major Lucky repeated.
No hope. I don't know what you are doing with the Minotaurs, but ponies are shot on sight.
Then, I said with a small smirk, I won't be seen. Lucky gave a rasping, wheezing laugh that I didn't appreciate. I waited patiently for him to finish.
Hired, you're not exactly subtle.
Funny, I remember another pony said that to me once. I have subtlety on my side, and I waved my hoof off to the side. For as much as I hated the mega spell inside me, the ability to sense magic was very welcome and let me get away with big gambles. I have Platinum Haze. Before they had a chance to ask who or what a Platinum Haze was, the shimmer around her fell, leaving the tall alicorn standing there with all eyes on her.
Hiya, Serenity said, lying on the alicorn's head. Sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt or nothing.
Before I could stop him, Lucky reached for his gun, only stopping when Hailstorm put a hoof on his shoulder.
An alicorn? I heard rumors that they have spread. Are you as dangerous as they say? We are unsure how to answer that question accurately. We do not know the pony or ponies referred to as they, and thusly we have no knowledge of their expressed level of danger. However, you should have little to worry about in regards to us being potentially dangerous. We have vowed never to harm another sentient being, and thus far we have never broken our oath. Our name is Platinum Haze. It is a pleasure to meet the both of you.
Platinum Haze reached out a hoof.
Damn. I was hoping you could be on our side. Don't suppose you know any other alicorns who would be able?
Platinum Haze shook her head.
We have a sister nearby who did not take such an oath, but she is doing an important task. No other sisters who we are associated with have traveled this far south. However, we know some sisters have. We cannot speak for them or their desires, but we would wish you did not harm them.
Sisters?
Lucky said curiously.
Like Luna and Celestia?
I had forgotten Lucky was old enough to remember when they were in pony form.
No, it is a long story, and we wish not to say it, but all alicorns are our sisters, and shall remain so until such a day when new alicorns can be born. The new alicorns would be our nieces, we suppose.
Hailstorm looked a mite confused, but accepted it.
And how exactly will you help Hired on this extremely dangerous mission the NCA officially doesn't condone or recognize?
Huh? She tilted her head and looked over at me.
We imagine she refers to our obvious abilities in invisibility. As a blue alicorn, we have been bestowed the power of invisibility, not unlike your stealth bucks. We are well practiced and hard to notice, as you can attest to. Serenity here is also helpful in those endeavors. She is well versed in sound magic.
Together we're basically ninjas, Serenity explained. Well, me more than her, because I trip less.
Ninjas?
Lucky looked dumbfounded.
Three ninjas, if you count Scootaborg. Serenity!
If she started talking about Scootaborg, all hope of ending this conversation quickly would be lost.
Sorry,
Serenity said in such a way it was clear she wasn't sorry. Anyway, I tried to steer the conversation back on track. We need to find him, get him back.
In the meantime, the one who's still safe, look for the chip in his head. You'll see.
And if we do?
Lucky started to pace across the room.
And what? The Watchers are evil?
Serenity scrunched up her face.
Or at least antagonistic towards Dice. What do you imagine the NCAA would do about it? We're caught up in a war and we don't have the forces to spare.
Stop your war. Focus on the ponies who caused it. Lucky just laughed at me. Either that or he was gargling rocks. It was hard to tell with ghouls.
What Major Lucky means to say?
Hailstorm's brow was furrowed as she stared at Lucky. I was amazed she hadn't shoved her hoof in his mouth to shut him up.
Is that the NCAA Council would never agree to stop the war. It's been coming for too long. However, the Watchers aren't a large organization, and if there is proof...
Right.
I got the feeling they didn't believe me.
Now, what can you tell us about Pinprick?
Hailstorm quickly changed the subject.
It was her funeral that caused the bloody riots, but nobody seems to know why.
She was a foul-mouthed bitch, I said. There really was no way around that. But she helped ponies. The radio called her a hero. Ponies believe that. When a hero dies, they become a martyr. Martyrs are easy to exploit. Who she was doesn't matter. She's a symbol now of everything wrong with the ice.
That's not helpful.
Lucky looked displeased at the whole conversation. Sorry. I tried to sound as sincere as I could. I gave you everything I know. Not everything, but it was everything they asked, at least. Can I go?
Would you take no for an answer?
Lucky asked. I didn't bother to respond. I just raised a curious eyebrow in his direction to see if he was serious.
Fine.
The NCAA officially pardons you of all charges laid against you,
Hailstorm said, a small smirk in her face.
But don't go just yet. I assume you're going straight to find Dead Whisper.
I gave a slight nod.
You'll run into NCAA patrols, so you'll need authorization. I'll write something up for you. Say you're there to perform routine maintenance on our artillery. Once you go on your mission, though, you won't have the paper shield anymore. Try not to get caught or die. We will endeavor to make sure she does not get caught,
Platinum Hayes said as I nodded my agreement.
Serenity just said, Ninjas!
And left it at that. We got our paper shield, got our stuff from the boat, and went on our merry way. The two guards seemed confused why we were let go, and I found it fun not to tell them. We said our goodbyes to Red Skies and his wife before heading off across the wasteland, the map of my pit buck providing a useful guide. We walked for a good long while, until it started to get dark, but I wanted to be well outside of the NCAA's hearing before I yelled at Walkirk.
Why the hell did you tell the NCAA I could help them?
Much to my annoyance, Walkirk had spent the past few days acting like a robot. Well, maybe actually he had just left the platform, because he didn't answer me.
Hey, Walkirk!
I smacked the robot in the face, only for it to beep at me.
He does not appear to be responding. Perhaps a different tactic is required.
Platinum Hayes offered as a solution. Well, not really a solution.
Though we know very little about such devices apart from their apparent weakness to bolts of lightning.
Like most things do.
I do.
Serenity hopped a few times to make sure we all heard her.
I mean, not really, but more cybernetics, but how hard could it be?
Platinum Hayes looked in the distance towards the waning sun.
It is late. We could camp here as Serenity tries to reestablish a connection. We are sore and wish to rest as well.
She said the last part quickly, which made me think she didn't want to affect my judgment on the matter too much. We can camp here, I said and looked around. There wasn't much cover, just brown rocks and craggy hills, but there was a blackened husk of a tree nearby we could use for firewood, so it was as good a place as any.
Sweet!
Serenity said and ran towards the robot, a screwdriver already in her mouth. Before going over to the tree for some firewood, I moved closer to Platinum Hayes, putting a hoof on her back.
Lie down and rest. Did you take any of the healing potions on the boat?
Platinum Hayes did as I asked, lying down slowly. It also had the odd side effect of allowing me to look down at Hayes.
Our wing, the one which was bitten by that wretched ghoul. We worry we have done some serious damage. After we flew after Flair to protect him from avarice, our wing has been in pain. Drinking a healing potion quelled the pain, but it returns still whenever we move our wing. We are afraid flying is out of the question at this moment.
Did you have Serenity look at it?
She gave me a quizzical look. She learned a few things from the Watchers. Saved my life at least once with her skills. Usually it's related to cybernetics, but, I mean,
She's no doctor, but if something is serious, she might be able to at least tell you what.
Ah, we see. We shall inquire about it when she is not so busy with her little project.
Her head tilted towards where Serenity was desperately fiddling with the robot. I gave her a soft nod before pressing my lips to her cheek.
All right, just rest for now. Don't overexert yourself.
We shall endeavor not to,
she said with a slight blush on her cheeks.
Though we shall refrain from pointing out the irony of you, of all ponies, telling us not to overexert.
I gave her a sly smirk. Most ponies aren't me, so they shouldn't copy me, I said before turning towards the blackened tree. You know, I always wondered if these trees grew this black, or were just really old. I guess it was one of those mysteries I would never solve, and I guess either way, if they burned, they burned. It didn't take much to break through the tree, just a few quick bucks, and I had nearly as much timber as, well, timber. Which was, a poorly worded statement, given, you know, what happened to timber. It took me about 25 minutes to have a nice stack of firewood. I was just about to bring it back when I heard a scream.
Mommy!
That was never something I wanted to hear. I booked it back towards the campsite to see Serenity cowering as the robot loomed over her. Platinum Haze was nearby, but she seemed to have fallen asleep and was only just then groggily waking up.
Unauthorized modifications detected. Commencing hostile disabling protocol.
The robot said, and still no Walker to be found. Not even when the robot's missile launcher started to unfold. Well, I had limited options. Subtlety shot around through whatever was the approximation of the robot's head in a spray of wires and sparks. With nary a beep, the robot slumped over, its lights turned off. Hostile disabled, I said and walked over to the robot and put a few more rounds in just in case before turning to my companions. I never liked his company anyway. I couldn't sleep. I'd had trouble sleeping since my nightmare a few nights ago, and what sleep I did have tended to be fitful and interrupted. Something about these nightmares unnerved me more than my usual ones. Perhaps I just needed to get used to them before I could sleep again, but in the meantime, it was a hassle. All I could do was stare at the fire as it dwindled and waned in the moonlight. I hated fire. Fire consumed things. It ate up whatever it could touch and left nothing but ash. Even the smell of smoke unnerved me. It reminded me of things I would rather have forgotten, of mistakes I could never undo. It was funny, though, how much fire seemed to follow me. Around me, things burned, sometimes metaphorically, but often literally. And then, when the flames died, only the smoke remained, and the memory of the fire that once was. Of course, fire was also warm. It kept the dark at bay, and keeps you safe from cold and loneliness. But at what cost? It was over so fast. The orange flames flickered around the broken ash and sticks that fueled it. The colors blended together, and the flames twisted together like musicless dance. Before long, the flames became a pony in my eyes, then became the pony. The wind breezed across the rocky plain, blowing my mane this way and that, but the image in the flames remained, her body still, but flames swaying.
I don't blame you,
I heard it say, or perhaps that too was the wind. You didn't have to, I whispered under my breath. The blame I put on myself was enough for two. It was no wonder we fell apart after that. She tried to pull me back, but I refused to talk about it, refused to acknowledge that any of it had happened. How could I blame her when she gave up trying? Maybe she never gave up. Maybe she was just waiting for me to be ready. Perhaps I finally was, but it was far too late. The dancing flame sputtered for a second, but before long the figure returned, glowing all the brighter. I can't. The fire inside my chest burned once again. I could feel it. Ever since I had heard the truth, I could feel the fire inside flickering. Perhaps I soon would be with her, going out like an inferno before fading away and finally being with my lost family.
If anyone can survive, it's you.
The flame sputtered again. Slowly, but surely, wildfire faded again. The light died, and the figure before my eyes was no more, leaving only a thin trail of smoke to remember her by.
Mama?
Serenity was standing on the other side of the fire, half obscured from smoke.
Are you awake? I thought I heard you talking.
Her voice was low and uncertain, as if she were afraid to wake me up. I suppose it was a good thing I was awake.
Yeah.
Serenity stepped around the dead fire to me.
Can I sleep over here with you tonight?
It wasn't that odd a request, but there was something about the way she asked it.
Of course.
I'm not sure if she actually expected me to say no.
What's the matter?
She didn't say anything at first, instead opting to lie down next to me and wait until I put a leg over her.
Nothing.
Well, that was a pretty feeble lie. I didn't call her out on it, though. I just stayed quiet. If she wanted to tell me, she would. And eventually, she did.
Dragon Slayer was a bad pony, right?
I had a feeling I knew where this line of questioning was going, so I answered her as simply as I could. Yes.
Like, really, really bad?
Yes, I repeated.
But the dragon, Avarice.
She corrected herself to make sure she used the dragon's name. That seemed, I don't know, important.
He said Dragon Slayer was his papa.
He did.
So I killed his papa,
Serenity concluded. Once again, I didn't bother to answer, letting her work through it herself.
Does that make me a bad pony?
Do you feel like a bad pony? It was the most relevant question I could ask.
No. Yes. Maybe.
She huffed and snuggled herself closer.
He deserved it, but Avarice didn't think so. But he tried to kill us, too.
We tried to kill his father first.
But he set traps for us and kidnapped me and...
I cut Serenity off. I'm not defending them, but we were planning on killing him. Serenity pouted at me for a minute before slowly fading away.
I don't like it, killing ponies. I kept trying to remind myself that he was a bad pony, you know, and that he deserved it, but... Then his dragon son was crying. I don't make him any better, though.
But it makes you feel worse. I slowly lifted my leg to brush at her mane.
Yes,
she admitted.
Good.
She looked up at me with a mask of confusion on her face. Killing should never be easy. If you get used to it, if it starts to feel normal or right, then something's wrong. You should feel bad when you kill ponies, even bad ponies. Because you should wish there was another way.
Do you feel bad?
It was a simple question, but one I didn't really know the answer to.
I try.
I stopped petting her mane to place my hoof gently on her back. But
you don't have to kill anyone. You could be like Platinum Haze and vow to do no harm.
But I've saved you before by killing.
She made a good point, but it wasn't as relevant as she thought it was.
Sweetie, then you make a choice.
I closed my eyes and gave a deep sigh.
I can't tell you what to do. You have to choose for yourself. Whatever you do, it won't be easy, though. It never is.
That wasn't the answer I was hoping for.
Sometimes, lots of times, there are no right answers. Just answers that seem right at the time. I gave her a squeeze. You're strong and smart and very capable. If you never want to touch a gun again, I understand. Serenity nodded, but didn't say anything. I wish I could have been more comforting to her, but I didn't want to lie. She was in too deep for comforting lies to help at all. Eventually, she fell asleep, snuggling up to me, but I stayed up and looked down at her, praying she would make better choices than I had.
Level up. Skill note, speech, 90. New perk, Megaspell Anomaly. You now explode when your health is 20 or below. It is probably deadly.